The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Totally Terrific, Totally Transforming, and Totally Triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, can we hear it? Yep, that is the question. Can we hear Jesus speak our name? When we go to church and hear the sermon, and when we read the Bible, and when the Holy Spirit convicts us of shortcomings within our hearts, do we hear it? If so, bingo, you're saved. Haha. Next, the gospel is not new in the mind of God. Jesus was decided upon before the foundation of the earth. It says that he was chosen before the foundation of the earth as the lamb slain. That's not a new thing. Even before Adam and Eve, there was a plan from God. The gospel is new to humanity, the way it's presented, about 2,000 years old. Yet it's always been a part of the plan of God. He even announced it ahead of time to his friend Abraham. And finally, have you ever seen somebody switch their position because it gave them an advantage? Boy, oh boy, this is a puzzle. People are changing sides to gain an advantage. Have you ever heard of such disloyalty? Because that is precisely what they did to Jesus Christ. So do not be too surprised when they throw you and me under the bus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Some of those are good. Spiritual observations. Meh. My life's insanities. That's a regular basis. Ave. Ave. Oy vey. Ave. I said ave instead of oy vey. I need help. Oy vey. That's what all I got to say. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's when you get to talk to Terrific T, 972-445-0770. That's always terrific. Just keep in mind, when you reach out to us, any topics open for conversation because it's not professional radio. And the fact that I literally wrote the wrong thing, said the wrong thing, and did the wrong thing in the last 30 minutes just proves that. It's okay. We can still go forward in life. Not everything we've done, not everything we've said, not everything we thought is perfect. But what it is connected to the Lord if we're genuine and authentic Bible-believing Christians. Even if we fail him in our hearts, we cry out for help. That's a big deal, and we're going to talk about that in a split second. But if you've got a prayer request, a praise report, if you've got something you want to share, something the Lord's really put on your heart, we want you to be able to do that. But in the meantime, we want you to answer this Bible trivia question. How many men did Nebuchadnezzar see walking in the fiery furnace? After all, he did toss in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So how many people did he see? If you think you know the answer, you can call in our number 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email in david@hemustincrease.org, of which I now want to remind you that to go to our website is an easy thing. Just go to hemustincrease.org. website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Now, I do want to say something because I think some people are like, hey, Dave, sometimes when you talk, you get really wound up. It's not because traffic was bad when I came in. Actually, today, traffic wasn't bad. I was just really amazed. It's really not that. Sometimes I just, like, get into it, and I'm sorry if it comes off really rude, but if you stick around, it'll get a lot ruder. So that's one thing you can look forward to. It's never intended to offend anybody. It's just the heart and the passion that I have for the Lord. And sometimes it comes out of my sleeve, and sometimes it rolls down my back. That's how that works. Do we have somebody who wants to answer the trivia question? I think we do. So let's lean over. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How you doing? How's Susie doing?
She's doing okay. Thank you for the prayers.
Yep. Everybody needs to keep praying for Susie. She's going through it, and she's getting a lot of fear attacked on her, and we want her to be well. So you keep us posted on that, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. All right, here you go. Classic. I know you know it. How many men did Nebuchadnezzar see walking in the fiery furnace?
I believe it was four.
That is correct, ma'am. You are right. There were three men tossed in, and as you know, they heated it up so much that the people that threw them in died, because that's how hot it was. The three guys go in, then there was the fourth, one like the Son of Man, and it's difficult to say if you get into the deep theology of that, what that is that Jesus hanging out with them? Is that an angel? Is that this, that? I'm not even sure I can give you an answer that would satisfy me, but here's what I know. The Lord was with them, and not even a hair on their head was singed, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I know. It's just like, how is that possible? I mean, I don't have a problem with that, but there's not even smoke coming out of the back of their coats? Come on. That's amazing.
No doubt. All right. Well, y'all have a good afternoon.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Love Deborah. She's fantastic. Okay. This will be encouraging. Isn't that nice? Every once in a while you get an encouraging word. I think that's good. I've actually entitled this DDD, Can You Hear It? And this is for those that are out there and just follow along with what I'm going to go with this. I think you'll get it. In John 18:37, this is what was said. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Kind of like you're a king, eh? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Okay, I love stuff like this. This is just like, okay. Listen to what Jesus said and just kind of break it down. Take a kind of deep breath. Pilate goes, you're a king, huh? Really? Yeah, really? Correct. You're right. I'm a king. And for this reason, I was born. And for this reason, I came into the world to testify to the truth. And everyone who's of the truth hears my voice. So for this reason, he was born human. He came into the world. He was divine. To bear witness to the truth, the Greek word is aletheia. Thayer defines aletheia. Thayer is one of the better lexicon definers. What is true in things pertaining to God and men, okay? And we are of the truth if we hear the truth. If you hear the voice of Jesus, if you hear what's going on, when he called your name, when you go, listen to this, this is just blow your mind. When you go to church and the preacher preaches and you go, ooh, yeah, I got to work on that. Like, you know that message, that word applies to you in some capacity. You're like, yeah, I can hear that. Man, that, oh, yeah, I got to work on it. Or you read the scripture and you go, oh, I need to use this, yeah. Or, oh, I need to change this. Or, oh, I need to read this and emblazon this on my forehead. I need to tattoo it on my brain. Anytime that stuff happens to you, that is a testimony that you are of the truth and are His. You see, a lot of people will feel that conviction, will hear the voice of the Lord, and they get kind of down. That's what happened in Nehemiah when they were reading the law, and the people were getting down and depressed because they were like, oy vey, we're not even close to this. We're so far away. And they're like, don't cry about it. This is a great thing. This is a great moment in the Lord. The Lord's communicating to you. He's telling you what's going on. Rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen to this. If you have that moment in prayer, in Bible, in church, in fellowship, when you're walking down the street, when you're driving your car, and the Lord shares something, and you know it's the Lord, and you hear it, you receive it, you respond to it, and I'm even talking, just listen to this, it'll blow your mind. You're in the car, and you're worshiping to a worship CD, and there's some statement of truth in the worship CD song, something about Jesus, you're the King, you're greater than any force, and your spirit's like, yes, yes. That just proves you're a Christian. Non-Christians never get that. Non-believers, not even close. But with our ears, we hear this and we go, oh, yes. And Jesus said, everyone who's of the truth hears my voice. And you're like going, all right. Even if it's conviction or if it's joy, if it's dancing or if it's weeping, it just proves you're His. Yeah? Isn't that awesome? I love that. Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. From 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
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 I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Yes. Yes. Okay. There's so many good jokes I can go with right off that. I'll just stop, though. Here's our next trivia question. What person in the Bible, what person in the Bible wrote, "What a wretched man I am"? Ooh, not "what a wretched man I was." "What a wretched man I am." Who wrote that? If you think you know, you are welcome to call us 972. You know, I get them mixed up. 972-445-0770. That's the number you would call. 972-445-0770. Or the text would be 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. In the meantime, I have a unique humorous set that, unfortunately for T, she's going to have to, well, it's not really a buzz. You're going to have to hear the whole thing. So I don't know how else to do it, okay? This is called "If God Had a Voicemail." Okay, this is kind of like different, right? All right, so "If God Had a Voicemail." All right, now, there's no theology behind this, people. Don't send me an email saying that's the wrong theology. Don't send me an email saying Martin Luther would not approve. Don't send me an email saying John Wesley would be very mad. Okay. It's a joke, right? It's not a lie. It's a joke. All right, "If God Had a Voicemail." "Thank you for calling heaven." Here's the intro. "I am sorry. All of our angels and saints are busy helping other sinners right now. However, your prayer is important to us, and we will answer it in the order it was received. Please stay on the line. If you would like to speak to God, press 1. If you want to speak to Jesus, press 2. If you want to speak to the Holy Spirit, press 3. If you would like to hear King David sing a psalm while you are holding, press 4. To find a loved one who's been assigned to heaven, press 5 and then enter his or her social security number followed by the pound sign. If you get a negative response, please hang up and try area code 666. For reservations in heaven, please enter John, J-O-H-N, 316. That's J-O-H-N, 316. For answers to nagging questions about dinosaurs, the age of the Earth, life on other planets, or where Noah's Ark is, please wait until you arrive. Finally, if you are calling after hours and need emergency assistance, please contact your local pastor." That's pretty good, right? That's not bad. My favorite line out of that, besides if you get a negative response, hang up and try the area code 666. It's just funny no matter what you say, is "if you'd like to hear King David sing a psalm while you're waiting, press 4. That's funny. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's what we got. All right, what is our trivia question? Oh, yeah. Who in the Bible said, "What a wretched man I am"? What a wretched man I am. Here we go. Romans chapter. We did on everything? I think we've covered everything. Did we website there that we're good on everything? I think we've covered everything. All right. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. "For the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God and counted him as righteous because of his faith." Now, somebody's calling in, so we'll take that call. And then we'll come back to the text. As you can tell, we're going to be doing a little bit of Abraham review on this. But I just want you to know the scripture so you know it in your mind. "For the scripture tells us Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of faith." So let's go ahead and go to the caller, and then we'll get back to the text. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Paul again.
Hey, all right, here you go. Now, this is a classic. What Bible character said, not Bible character, but Bible person, said, "What a wretched man I am"?
I believe it was Peter.
Right. Now, I want you to try the other P.
Paul.
Yep, that's it right there, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't real sure, but I knew it was one or the other because I just read it the other day.
Yeah, and Romans 7:24, Paul said, "Oh, what a wretched man that I am." And then again in Timothy, he said, "Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, not I was chief." And I know that people are like, "Well, that's just positional." It's like every Christian I've ever met always feels like, "I'm the worst sinner ever." I mean, if they're really authentic and there's, and that's what I think he's doing. It's like, I'm terrible. I'm a wretched guy.
I feel like I walked in his shoes a little bit when I read that. You know what I mean?
Yep. So. That gives you the identity that the Holy Spirit's connecting so that we all understand, hey, part of this walk has moments that are tough. That's exactly right. Very good. Excellent job, brother. Excellent.
All right, man.
All right. God bless you. Day. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Nice job on the answer there. From Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For the scripture tells us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. So I want you to understand something. There's a passage talking about the gospel was announced beforehand to the prophets and through the prophets, essentially, but that the gospel was announced beforehand. And here is a great example of the gospel being announced beforehand. Keep in mind who Abraham was, okay? So it was out of his seed. You have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had how many? He had the 12 kids. You got the 12 tribes. Okay, got that, but yet Moses had not yet been born. There is no Mount Sinai experience yet taking place. There is no law given in that same capacity that we understand the laws that came through Moses and the Ten Commandments, and then all the other laws in Leviticus and Exodus and Numbers and even Deuteronomy. Before there was a law, God gave the principle of his plan of salvation through and to Abraham. And we don't think of it in those terms because we think, well, you know, there was Abraham and there was Noah and some people did really good and some people did really bad. And then finally Moses came. And then when Moses came, it kind of all became the law. And then it's all la, 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 la. And we couldn't keep the law. And then it's all, you know, Jesus came. It's all grace, 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 grace. And, you know, it's God kind of like moving it along. And it's like, no, God announced beforehand, before time, before the existence of time, this plan. This plan is not the new plan. Now, the way the gospel breaks down as we see it through Matthew and through Revelation, it's new in the capacity that they thought it was going to be one way from the old, and it changed into something different in the new. They were expecting a Roman conquering Messiah, and yet instead they found out that the kingdom Messiah was much more powerful because Jesus hasn't been on the earth for 2,000 years, and his kingdom is still growing. It's amazing, and give credit where credit is due. He's an army that continues today and been growing for 2,000 years. That's pretty impressive. But God gave his principle of his plan of salvation back to Abraham. And I want you to understand that that's why when it talks about Galatians chapter 4 and in Romans 4 and Romans 5, it talks about that you're a child or an heir of Abraham. That's because Abraham set the pace. I think it's the pace car in racing. I'm not a big racing guy, so don't get mad at me. But I think the pace car kind of gets the things get around track. Well, Abraham's the pace car because in that capacity, he leveled it out and said, here's where it all starts, and here's what it is. It's the principle that faith in God, not faith about God in the sense of that generic-y, you know, wide thing, but a direct, intimate, honest, earnest, effective, everyday faith. Notice I threw that in there. That faith is counted by God as a righteousness. And the method that he chose for us to operate with him in is that faith. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those who seek him. And the idea behind that is Jesus is the premise, the foundation by which it all swirls together. It might be a nice way to say that he's the
the big bowl by which we throw it all into, and it all mixes together. But it is that method of faith that God pointed out Abraham had, and that we are supposed to all engage with. And it's not just faith in a moment or faith in a single promise. It's faith in God for everything. Now, I know that that's hard, and it sounds hard, I think, but it's what God asks of us. That faith, and that faith that we have in what God did. Now, keep in mind, you weren't there when Jesus was crucified, in the sense of physically there. You weren't there when he was buried. You weren't there when he resurrected. You access this now. You have this in deep, deep committed connection with God because of your faith that God gave it by grace and you received it by faith. You weren't there, but you believe. And that belief has catapulted you into a fellowship status with God. That fellowship status is enabled by the redeeming work of Christ, which is why the Old Testament pointed forward, New Testament points backwards, all towards the cross, which is the center of time. But salvation is given by grace, received by faith, and seized because of and through Jesus' sacrifice, which brings us to peace with God. And that faith that you have makes the righteousness of Jesus Christ pour upon you like a fresh spring of water on a hot day. That's what makes you right with the Lord. That faith was announced beforehand to Abraham. Now you know why the gospel was preached beforehand. There you go. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? Hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend, on the show.
I was going to say that about you.
It has been years and 6 months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man, finally. I'm sliding in under the tag home safe.
You are finally safe. Okay. And so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray or you can bless Ray because it was his fault a year and a half ago on February 12th when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
You just point
to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's just, it's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, we've got another trivia question. We've got Paul's answer, too. Good job, by the way, Paul. And then Deborah's answer was, we want to hear from some of the other people. I know sometimes you're get a little afraid. It's easier to text in. You can stay anonymous. But I promise terrific tea won't bite. I didn't say I wouldn't bite. I just said you wouldn't bite. I think that's fair. Okay. All right, here you go. Here is the, remember we're doing the fill-ins every once in a while. I really like these fill-in ones. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be blank and thy blank. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be blank and thy blank. The only hint I can give you is in Acts 16. That's all I can give you. Can't give you more than that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be blank, and thy blank. Okay? Okay. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, the website, let's do a quick prop on the website, because that is a place to give, and giving helps us pay the bills. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, and then we're going to do a little bit of history. So let's do our little history music.
Let's go live.
All right, a couple of interesting things on the history. Nothing super duper fantastic, but interesting. Today is Barbershop Music Appreciation Day, which I don't know if that means barbershop quartet, which I would think that would be cooler than just barbershop music. Because, I mean, if you go into the barbershop, you go into a salon or something. Well, I don't know. Is the music special? I think that should be barbershop quartet. Also, it's Embrace Your Geekness Day, which means the people that are geeky, I have no idea what they're talking about. That's why I study the Hebrew and the Greek. Because I don't embrace geekness. National French Fries Day, and I'm all about that because I love French fries. Okay, I don't know if other people like French fries. I'm probably not the only person that likes French fries. And then I will fess up. I'm just going to say it, and I am working on the diet, so leave me alone. But I like the McDonald's fries. I just think the McDonald's fries are good. I don't know. Is that wrong? I mean, I think they're good, right? Do you like those or do you not like those? Fair. All right. Any other particular French fry you like? I mean, Noelle likes the, what is it, Rallies, those Rally fries. I don't know if you know what those are. They're the curly fries with the
No, I know what those are.
Yeah, she likes those. She gets the she'll get a bag like that at the freezer or at the frozen ones at the grocery store. Any particular one you like? I mean, is there any, like, fry?
I mean, potatoes itself is just amazing. I would say my favorite would have to be, like, tater tots.
Okay. See, now I like that because I like tater tots. I'm a big tater tot fan. It's also Bean and Frank's Day, which I think it would be Frank and Beans, wouldn't it? Would it be Frank and Beans?
As long as I remember, it was Frank and Beans.
Yeah, I wonder why they changed that. 19, thank you for that. 1908, first time the modern Olympics where women competed was in 1908 on this day. This is the last thing I think it's pretty important. This is where you really get to the serious stuff. In 1913, the first movie pie was thrown in somebody's face. A Noise from the Deep premiered, and the actress Mabel Normand hit Fatty Arbuckle in the face with a custard pie, starting the long comedic tradition. See? Now, if you know that, you can just get through your day now. All right. Our trivia question. Remind me to answer this, because I don't think anybody's going to call it this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be blank. And thy, or you and your, okay, and then blank, okay? Okay, all right, let's get into the text. Here we go. The title of this is actually called Turning Secular to Win the Cause. And I want you to see this. We're not going to go too deep into today's politics because personally they annoy me and bore me. So I'm just not going to go too deep into that. But John chapter 19, verse 13 through 15 say this. Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at the place called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now, it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." So they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." People will read that and they'll think, yeah, sure, that makes sense. Yeah, right, got it. No, that doesn't make sense. Let me explain to you that the chief priests were the primary people who in the Jewish nation made it absolutely clear that Caesar was no king. In fact, credit should be given to them prior to this statement that they would absolutely not acknowledge Caesar as king, but quote-unquote tolerated it because the Romans were more powerful than the Jewish nation, and they had to survive it and put up with it, but they never at any point thought in any capacity that Caesar was the king until they faced a greater threat in Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, they are like, well, we don't have any king. Oh, the only king we have is Caesar. You got to crucify this guy. And that's why Pilate said what he said. He said, "Here, behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, crucify him." And then Pilate's like, I'm supposed to crucify your king? And they're like, we don't have any king. Well, Caesar's our king. He's our buddy. We like him. Caesar's our pal. They hated Caesar. They despised Caesar. They so despised the entire premise of disliking tax collectors was because those tax collectors collected for Caesar. And they but then they were faced with a dilemma. How do we get rid of Jesus? And they switched allegiance faster than you can snap your finger. And you think, well, what has that got to do with us and our lives? Well, number one, you need to be very aware that your allegiance to Jesus Christ can be quickly challenged and you can be put in an awkward situation. So the first thing that you should be aware of is to make sure that you are standing firm in your allegiance to Jesus. It's probably won't happen. I probably shouldn't even say that. Might not happen, could happen. But what happens if they genuinely start persecuting Christians? I'm not talking about no prayer in school. I'm talking about gathering Christians, putting them away, executing them, imprisoning them, doing whatever. And people are like, that will never happen. That's what they said 20 years ago. Now you look at the landscaping and you think, man, that could happen tomorrow. The way things are going, will you remain faithful to your allegiance to Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That's number one. Number two, it should teach you that people in powerful positions, be they religious leaders or politicians or whatever the case may be, can switch allegiance as quickly as can be thought. Okay? I mean, it's just going to be like, bam, it could just switch in a second. And you and I should be deeply aware that people change their positions for political and power advantage. Now, I just got a text, somebody saying that the phone is not working or something, so just double check it. We'll just see. And if you're trying to call in, it's 972-445-0770. I'm having T check it right now just to make sure. But here's what I want you to be aware of, because she's going to just help it out. Is it all good? All good. The bottom line in that process is for you and I to be highly in tune with all of the voices you hear around you. And you know what I'm talking about, making everybody dumber in America. All these voices, all these allegiances, all these commitments, they fly by the wind. They change. I mean, it's like gas when eating at Taco Bell, and the capacity of people change their mind as soon as they have the wrong burrito or the wrong taco. It's just ridiculous. And you and I should be mature enough to step back and go, hey, this is all that all over again. It's just a unfaithfulness, a disloyalty, a quick turnabout that simply says people will go where they are most advantaged, even to the point of the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of mentality. And it's like, yeah, that's a shame, isn't it? And you see it on television, you see it everywhere. You can't be like that. We can't do that. Okay, we can't be, you don't want to have to get, it's not that Jesus will abandon, but you don't want to have to be restored like Peter was restored. You don't want to have to go through that. You stay loyal to your king and you be aware of other people switching their allegiance. You should be aware of it because that tells you what kind of character they have. And you should be like, that ain't good. And before anybody jumps on left or right, this applies all the way across the board and way beyond politics. This applies to the church at large, switching positions. I happen to know of one particular faith that just before they lost their tax-exempt status, they got a revelation from God to make a change just so that they didn't lose their tax-exempt status. That tells you everything, right? Oh, come on. All right, the passage was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thy and thy household. There you go. That was the answer. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know,
Tell me the show's all about you.
Well, this segment is.
Okay.
Not about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where did that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness.
So Paul's like,
yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's a, kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where upon reflection, I want to withdraw a little bit of the Taco Bell reference. Just leave it there. I probably should have said that a little differently, but that's such is life. All right, here you go. I'm not retracting one thing I said, except for that Taco Bell reference probably should have been spoken a little differently. In what book of the Bible do we read the words, "What a man sows, that shall he also reap"? Ooh. In what book of the Bible do we get, "What a man sows, that shall he also reap"? If you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. And then you can also email David at hemustincrease.org. Boy, tomorrow going to be a very interesting teaching. That's all I'm going to say. I think interesting. It'll have some impact on some people for sure. In the meantime, let's do our Hebrew word. Let's do our Hebrew word.
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, venisrecha.
Potato latkes. Okay. That's something else we used to eat. All right. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses said, "Let us go up at once and take it, for we are at once and take it possession, for we are able to overcome this." I've done this before, but I wanted to do it again because I think somebody really needs to hear this. And you think those words, that's just Jewish words and Greek words, and he's just sharing. It's like, yeah. But every once in a while, if you'd be kind of sensitive, right? Right, if you be real sensitive, you will find out that those words have application. And so the word able is yakol, and it means to be able. Now, we've used the Greek word before on able. This is the Hebrew word, to be able, to have power, to have capacity, to prevail, or to succeed. So let's look at that again. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Able. Yakol. Now you think, well, that's good. But that word is huge. It's used 200 times in the Old Testament. It means to have power, to have the capacity to prevail, to succeed. Yakol. Able. That's your Hebrew word. Okay? All right. Boy. Really got into that one there. Once again, we'll do the trivia and then we'll move on. In what book of the Bible do we read, "What a man sows, that shall he also reap"? What a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's very specific. I will give everybody a little help because we're having a little, some people are having a few little bit of a problem. It's in the New Testament. What, Dave? Yep, it's in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, a tremendous favor for many of us, thank you, says this, "For I am convinced." I love that. I just love how Paul, when he writes, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." A wonderful passage for many of us indeed. I want to just go over the list of 10. You think the list of 10? Yep. Paul was convinced that there is nothing that could separate him, nothing that could separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
Nothing can separate us. Not just him. I should probably have said that better in the very beginning. But us, plural, the plurality. All of us who are believers, who genuinely believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's returning. That we, who are diligent to make sure that our faith is not a one and done, but it's a continual action of believing in Jesus Christ as our Messiah, that we are in a position to be able to understand that nothing can separate us, and that he does this, not death. I mean, you could just spend 10 hours talking about the reality that death will not separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Never happened. This is all the stuff you come up with in your brain. Yeah, death won't. Nope, not strong enough. And then it's like, okay, well, what's the opposite of death? Life. There's nothing. There's no life. Nothing that can separate you from not death, not life. They're opposites. Not angels, not demons. They're opposites. You getting this? No angel. Well, angels are supposed to be on our side. Right. Even if something happens, doesn't matter. The demons, those are the bad angels. Sure, but that's not the problem. The problem is we're not getting that that doesn't matter. Not the present, I love this, nor the future, which is also an opposite in its own way. Nothing that is current can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, and nothing that can come down the pike. All right, now if somebody's calling in on the trivia question, we'll give them a chance there, but listen to what's being said. There is nothing that is now that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ, the love that God has for you through Jesus Christ, and there's nothing that can happen. I think those are the best two, by the way, because nothing that can happen now or in the future pretty much spells it out. Doesn't matter. Nothing that will happen from this mini millisecond to all the way to the end of what we could possibly understand this time, nothing will separate us. Isn't that great? There's there's nothing in the present, nothing in the future, nor any powers. There's just no power anywhere because God's power is the reigning power, period. Listen to this. Nor height, nor depth. Nothing that's so high or nothing that's so low. Again, go right to the opposites. And then he says this, which is kind of like, you know, when you're teaching or you got your one great line or your one great point when a preacher is preaching a message or when you're teaching a class, there's the one main lesson or there's this one main thing that we used to call it. In fact, we go to dinner now, we call it the main course. Here's the main thing that he says. Nor neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation. It's kind of like going, ba-ding! There's nothing, 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 nada. Nada, nada. What's nada? Nada. Okay, and that. So we got to pray for Donna. Okay, and what's her name? Donna Gale's daughter. The daughter passed or the husband passed? The husband. Okay. Hey, we need to take a break and just pray for somebody. You know, Donna Gale who calls in. She's such a blessing. She's a sweetheart. We just want to pray for her. Her daughter's husband passed away. So we just want to pray. Let's just do that real fast. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up Donna Gale's daughter to you right now, and Donna, and family, and everybody involved. In the name of Jesus, we pray you bring the spirit of comfort and the spirit of kindness and the spirit of mercy that will enable this family to get through this moment, this time, this difficulty. We pray that you would give Donna great words of wisdom and a great sense of your Holy Spirit to minister the comfort that comes from you. We lift them up to you right now, Lord, because those are situations that we're not at, we can't do anything about, but we trust you that you know exactly what needs to be said, exactly who needs to be touched, exactly what needs to take place in ministry. We ask you to fill Donna Gale with that wisdom and to touch her daughter and protect their family and keep them safe and their hearts and minds safe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Okay. So you want to be praying for Donna Gale and for her daughter and for the situation. We don't know all the details, but we know enough to know that we need to pray. Okay? All right. So well, I want to finish this up, and then we'll finish off on the trivia because we only got about 2 minutes. So I want you to understand that there's nothing left in all of existence that can separate you from the love of God that's found through Jesus Christ. This is how much God loves you. He loves you so much that he lists 10 things, of which all creation is a part of this, the current time, the future time, death, life, angels, demons. Notice these are all big ticket items. No height nor depth. There's no small ticket items. This is not talking about rent. This isn't talking about bills. This isn't talking about you having a bad relationship with somebody. These are the big items, right? The present, the future, anything in creation, angels, demons, death, life. Those are the big tickets, man. They cannot separate you from the love that God has for you that is found in Jesus Christ. Talk about a comfort. And Paul doesn't say, boy, I sure hope. He said, I am convinced. And he doesn't say just for me. He says, for us. That's you too. You're included in that. And we need to recognize how important that is through every moment of our existence. The love of God is secure for you through Jesus Christ. And John says we know and rely on the love that God has for us. Isn't that just absolutely marvelous? Okay, I'll finish off the trivia question. Where does it talk about whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap? That would be Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. Please keep Donna Gale in prayer and her family, and make sure you remember that nothing will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So we're going to take a short 22.5-hour break. Then we'll be back for more Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.